Hey, this is Adam Sorensen, politics producer at Time.com. Welcome back to The Call, a weekly conversation with Time's political reporters on what they've been working on and the latest from Washington. Joining me this week are Michael Scherer and Kate Pickert.
One interesting thing we could start off with would be breast cancer rescission and WellPoint. Michael, you wrote about it, and Kate, you certainly know a lot about the topic. What's the story behind it, and what's the political fallout happening now?
Okay, so the story is that WellPoint, one of a number of large insurers in this country, has been investigated in an investigation that doesn't have a clear conclusion. And one of the things that was leaked to Reuters, who wrote the story, was that they had a system in place for when their customers contracted breast cancer, it would trigger a review of that patient's file to see if there were any reasons in that file that would allow the insurance company to drop that patient from coverage. So obviously it's a political hot potato because it is in its own way sort of the caricature that the White House and Democrats have been trying to make for years now, or months at least, that insurance companies are little more than heartless for-profit machines that are willing to abandon their patients, their customers, at their most dire moments.
And this is the same company that Anthem, this is the parent company, is the same company that was taking heat a couple of months ago in California for their really dramatic rate hikes in the individual market. So they're well acquainted with Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, who's really trying to kind of put downward pressure on them to sort of stop doing some of these things, even if they're not technically illegal. But, you know, it's a disaster PR-wise for the company.
Let me ask you this, Kate. How will health care reform change this? If it, 5-10 years from now, under health care reform, will WellPoint still be able to drop people if they find evidence of fraud after they get sick?
They will, yes. I think that the regulations for this, I don't think, have been written yet. Of course, you know, we have the statute, which is the law, but then, you know, Health and Human Services will go through and write many, many more pages of the actual rules and regulations. And I think within those regulations, they'll be laying out, you know, the specifics of what constitutes fraud and what things won't have to, you know, should be disclosed. But again, like, there will be no more insurance companies not writing policies for people that have pre-existing conditions. So they're going to have to cover all pre-existing conditions. So the whole, like, universe will change. But, yeah, I mean, so
the incentive for lying because you have breast cancer goes away.
Goes away, exactly.
Mm-hmm. The White House seems to be putting a lot of effort and resources into selling this health care bill, even though it's not a bill, it's a law, it's a done deal. So does that go into the midterm calculation? Does that go into the 2012 reelection calculation? Why are they spending so much time and resources on this?
Well, I think it's a complicated question with a complicated answer, right? So on one level, they know that this fight is not over. Healthcare will continue to be a political hot potato for years to come. It doesn't even get implemented for a number of years, many of the parts of it. And there is a huge fight for public opinion that still has to be waged. If 3 years from now, you know, only 30% of Americans approve of healthcare reform, then I don't know whether you get rid of parts of it. But the Democratic Party is in big trouble, and the prospects of healthcare reform doing what people want it to do is in big trouble. So there's a PR fight going on there. But the White House also really wants to pivot away from healthcare at the same time. So they're caught. These two separate strands.
Yeah, I think what you said before is exactly right, Michael, that they're trying to kind of, the White House is trying to walk this fine line of not talking too much about health care because they don't want the focus on sort of the downsides of health care and the political fight. But at the same time, they very much want to educate people about, you know, the really popular benefits that are going to go into effect now and the ways that, you know, health care could help people in the future. So people are, frankly, really, really confused, I think, about exactly what's to come for them personally. So they're trying to do this kind of, you know, benign, you know, educational campaign at the same time. They're trying to pivot to energy and immigration and financial reform.
And, you know, the other interesting sort of data point here is that what the White House was sort of hinting would happen after the passage of healthcare reform has yet to happen. The polls have basically not moved. And
right.
I think there are, a couple ways of looking at it. On the one hand, you could say, well, what that shows is that it was never health care reform in the first place that was bringing down these poll numbers. It was the economy and how people are just angry at how Washington works and generally like leadership in America right now. And I think there's something to be said for that. The other way of looking at it is that the voters are not going to forgive the Democrats or Obama for what he's done on health care. And I don't really know. I mean, I think it's clearly some mix of the two of those, but I don't know yet how it shakes out, whether the American people will kind of come around once unemployment dips below 8% or something like that.
Do you think financial reform is a good way back to positive poll numbers?
I mean, it should be, right? But if it isn't, what does that mean? I think that's the interesting question. I mean, financial regulation reform polls, you know, 75% or something. I mean, it's not even a close call. The American people are angry at these banks. They do think we need more regulation. I mean, the details are a little muddy. Most people, again, don't really understand the details. But yeah, any politician who stands up and says, I'm going to take it to the bank lobbyists, should be getting a huge bump. And it looks like Obama's actually being very successful in getting through something that will have teeth that maybe not as many teeth as some on the left want, but will have teeth and will take profits away from Wall Street. So it should be a big bump for him. I think what will be interesting is if again, it turns out not to be. I mean, it could be that we're just in such a poisonous place and the economy is just so bad that no matter what the president does, he can't really, you know, get the reward that he's looking for, because the bottom line is people are not happy with where they are in their finances, and they're worried, and they don't have confidence in Washington to do anything about it.
Right. Now, what is the current state of financial reform legislation?
There's one of two things will probably happen by Monday. Either Republicans will come to some agreement with Dodd and company over the weekend, in which case you're going to have a test vote early next week in which, you know, it's not just 60 senators, it's 70 senators or more will vote to open debate on this. Or over the weekend, the White House will peel off one or two Republicans, which will be enough to basically block a filibuster to open debate. And then we'll have a sort of more interesting time in which the White House and Dodd will have to be scraping for votes on various amendments as the debate moves forward.
You sound fairly confident that they will get at least 60, though, on Monday.
I'm confident only because everybody I talk to seems to be confident. So, yes, I think it's unlikely that they will. This first test vote is really just open debate. So it's not on what the final bill will look like, right? So it's really, do we want to allow this to happen?
Sure.
This issue to move forward. So you're unlikely to lose any Democrats. You already got 59. And so it's really just peeling off one or two Republicans. And it's clear that there are a number of Republicans who are sympathetic to this. I mean, even coming out of the Agriculture Committee, Chuck Grassley crossed party lines to endorse Blanche Lincoln's derivatives bill, which was a surprise. Olympia Snowe is on the record supporting very strong regulations of the banks on derivatives. A number of other Republicans are on the record supporting other very stringent parts of this bill. So, yeah, I don't. It doesn't seem to me like a real big climb. But, you know, that said, senators will always tell you the great part about this place is you never know what's going to happen.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to watch next week. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For more political news and analysis, head over to time.com/politics. Once again, I'm Adam Sorensen, and this is The Call. Tune in next week.